Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Spend lots of time on your device? Then spend some of that time with us. WSJ Podcasts, the sound of success. Coming up.
We're one topic show today. Star Wars. That little tiny independent film which is coming out the end of this week. Will you see it? Do you care? Are you shutting it out altogether? Plus, a fabulous reunion of a famous, iconic Wall Street Journal podcast. Coming up, Free For All.
Where sports meets life and everything in between. From the Wall Street Journal, this is Free For All with Jason Gay.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars, don't let them end.
Welcome to the Free For All. This is your host, Jason Gay of the Wall Street Journal, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jim Cherusmi.
How you doing, Jason?
You know what week it is?
It's Star Wars week.
It's Star Wars week, and that was the official, I think that was the John Williams score that we came right out of the intro to. No, that was, of course, the great Bill Murray doing his rendition of the Star Wars theme, but Star Wars opens up Thursday, Jim.
Yeah.
How come you're not in line?
You know, we have to get the Cantina Band back together, I think.
The Cantina Band?
Yeah.
We didn't get the Cantina Band together, but we have a little bit of a reunion here in the Free For All studio. Besides Jim Cherusmi, we also have Jeff Foster.
Hello.
And Adam Thompson.
That's me. Hey.
And this constitutes a de facto quorum of the Sports Retort, the famous Star Wars cantina of the prior podcast administration of the Wall Street Journal. This is a retort reunion.
If Mike and the Mad Dog can do it, we can do it.
So if we were the New Hope, this podcast is The Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
I'm trying to keep everything in Star Wars terms Jason.
You could have called me Jar Jar Binks, one or the other.
Well, you're better than that.
I want to talk. I brought you guys in. You know, I asked and begged and cajoled you guys to come by the studio because no one talks about movies more maddeningly than Adam Thompson and the rest of you. But before we get into your uninformed opinions, I want to actually get some information from a real showbiz reporter, Ben Fritz of the Wall Street Journal in L.A. Ben, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Last night, you saw the thing.
I saw Star Wars. That's right. I was in one of the first first group of people who don't work for Disney to see the film.
Now, what kind of restriction are you under here? I know I've heard about these embargoes and how you're not supposed to be reviewing the films. What are you allowed to say right now?
Well, I'm not allowed to really, you know, first of all, I'm not a critic anyway, but I'm not allowed to give my review, give an overall, you know, assessment of it. And then in terms of revealing plot details, I've just been asked to use discretion. So I leave it up to you guys how much of the plot you want to know or you want your listeners to know.
None of the plot. Don't tell us.
Okay.
I might walk out of the room.
Does Kevin Costner reunite with his dad at the end? That's what I need to know.
Sorry, does who reunite with his dad?
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, you know what? Only there's like a ghostly image of his dad that appears briefly, along with some Ewok dancing.
What about the late act appearance of Channing Tatum? Is that exciting for everybody?
Yeah, but I thought having him do a strip thing in a Star Wars movie was really, really out of character, and frankly, it was really totally off.
Okay.
That's JJ's choice.
What happens if you break the embargo?
If I were to like give my full-on review right now? Like Disney is a very powerful company, and, frankly, not only would I say I'm not safe, I don't know if anybody at the Wall Street Journal is safe.
Really? You'd be worried about a mouse driving by your place, 3 o'clock in the morning, rather slowly?
Dude, they control Marvel now. They control Star Wars. They have a lot of dangerous assets. So, yes, I'd be very worried.
Okay, if you can't reveal the plot details, you have to give us some sense of what a Nerdfest it was last night and what the crowd reaction was to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, it was weird because it was a mix. The crowd was a mix of, like, Hollywood douchebags and nerds, right? Because it's a premiere, so there were all sorts of agents and producers and you know, actors or celebrities who got themselves invited and Disney executives and so on, you know, who were all like half excited to be there and half whining about how long the line is or whatever. But then they let in a fair number of fans.
True lunatics in Boba Fett costumes.
Well, we got to have at least 100 nerds in the room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. They want to make sure, yeah, those are the people, you know, who make sure they lead the crowd in the crazy cheering. One of the fun things is they had the fans wore different color like tags around their necks,
like nerd tags.
Yeah, nerd tags. And the reason was different colors. I think it was like red, yellow, and green to indicate how much of the movie they wanted to discuss with other people. Like if they wore a green tag, then you could discuss anything about the movie with
what?
Them and plot,
wow.
You know, the finale, all the surprises. But if they were wearing red, don't talk about anything with them. And if they were yellow, you could discuss, you know, themes, but don't go into too much detail.
Wait a second.
I only want to talk about themes. Only thematic
this
points.
This is for the press. This is the people are wearing color codes for the press to be able to ask.
No. These are for the fans.
So this is just ordinarily. I need to be walked through this because this is
confusing.
So strange. Okay, so this
strange.
Is. People are given color code. Are they wristbands? Are they?
No, they're like placard, like things you wear around your neck. Along,
okay,
along
like a lanyard with something.
Lanyard,
okay.
Yes, exactly.
Did they win a contest to get tickets?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how Disney picked them, honestly. I don't know if they. I don't know how they got in, if they were the people who camped out the longest, or if they entered online, or if they had to actually provide paper proof of their virginity or what. It was something like
but,
that.
But, okay, so they had a green card. So who issued this card? Was it the people who were putting on the promotion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. I don't think it was like – I honestly don't know. I only know that I saw them with them. And
so a guy dressed in a full Lando Calrissian outfit with a green lanyard on, you know, do you really need the lanyard to prove that that guy's willing to talk about everything involving Star Wars? I mean, I think it's pretty evident right there.
Some of them don't want to have, you know, anything spoiled for them whatsoever, or even if they've seen it, they don't want to discuss any of those details. You have to know, you know, you don't want to be as like, remember that classic Simpsons when Homer walks out and he's like, I can't believe Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Right.
And waiting online, it's like, oh.
You know, it raises an interesting point because I've been sort of monitoring the internet for people breaking the embargo, and there's a tiny bit of it, but were somebody rather high profile to break it? And I think probably somebody will in the next 24 hours. Come on, you know, it's too juicy. The backlash would be pretty intense, don't you think? I mean, I think it would be a lot of rage directed at whoever broke it.
There totally would be. I mean, this is it's not worth it. People truly don't want to be surprised. And when's the last time you can remember a major movie this close to opening and you really don't, you know virtually nothing about the plot? And having seen it, I can tell you that if you watch the trailers and stuff, you really know very little.
Probably The Phantom Menace, to be honest.
Yeah, that might be the last one.
I remember actually getting spoilers from Return of the Jedi in 1983. That I had a babysitter when I was 8 years old who told me everything that happened in it.
Told you there would be Ewoks?
I knew about the Ewoks, but he told me about, you know, that Darth really was his father and the whole thing.
Wow.
And then he dies. Yeah.
Wow, great babysitter.
Seriously.
Yeah. Jeez. Ben, were you much of a Star Wars fan growing up, and you know, was this, did this hold any sort of personal excitement for you?
Yeah, absolutely did. I mean, I'm the right age. The first movie I remember seeing is Return of the Jedi, and I was 5 or 6, and my parents had actually just gotten divorced, and I found one of the first benefits of that I found is I got both of them to separately take me to see the film. So yeah, I mean, I'm not the kind of crazy fanatic, like, you know, I'm not the hardest core fan, but it was very meaningful to me as a child. I loved it like all little boys did in the early 80s, and this was, you know, it was very, very cool. It was a big deal to get to be among the first to see it, and it's not giving much away to say, you know, it's very resonant of the original trilogy, and it has, not, I mean, the prequels might as well have not happened as far as this film is concerned. You know,
In your personal life, how much detail will you go into? If you know a close friend or family member asks you to give the skinny on what happens, would you give the embargo there?
I would sort of do the like, you know, I would make them give me verbal, perhaps a double verbal consent to be like, this is what I'm going to spoil for you. And if they want it, I'm happy to tell them. I told, like, my wife is not at all a Star Wars fan. She doesn't even, she's kind of unclear on the difference between, like, Yoda and Ben Kenobi. So she asked me stuff last night because she was trying to assess whether she even wants to see it.
My wife thought that Han Solo's name was Hans Solo, like he was German.
Hans.
Up until last year.
Nice. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us. I know that it was a long, exciting night for you, and I appreciate your coverage. What's your box office prediction for this? If it's not the biggest box office weekend ever, won't it be regarded as something of a letdown?
The only excuse then will be, well, where, you know, people are waiting to see it over Christmas weekend. I think there's no question when all is said and done, it will be the highest grossing movie in U.S. history. That's just for sure, in my opinion. It's going to be the record of Avatar. In terms of an opening weekend, I think it is likely to set a new record, not definite. One of the reasons is everybody who's going to see it is going to pay for the, you know, $15-$20 right. IMAX 3D tickets, right. Which is why I'm willing to predict, you know, the current record is 209 for Jurassic World. I go out there and say 215, 220. I think that's very doable.
Right. Well, Adam Thompson won't be there opening weekend because he's going to go watch a documentary about Romanian chess. But thank you very much for your time. And listen, thanks also for sending us the whole movie on Dropbox this morning. I know you took a lot of pains to film it on your phone.
My pleasure.
That was really nice of you.
Let me stand there with my giant iPad in front of my face. They were cool with it.
All right. Okay. When we get back, we're going to talk with the retort and a special guest about what to expect. The fan favors, the fan discussion. Star Wars continues.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Traveling on business? Then take us along and stay on track. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously, where sports meets life and everything in between. From the Wall Street Journal, this is Free for All with Jason Gay.
That is it. We are back. That is the official Star Wars theme by a composer.
Imperial March kind of podcast.
You're more of an Imperial March kind of guy.
Right?
The official Star Wars theme by Ryan Adams, I believe, was the original composer of the Star Wars theme.
I think it was Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, Adam? Huh. All right, Adam, you're on the spot here.
Bring it.
Any interest in seeing Star Wars, The Force? Is it Awakens or Reawakens?
Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
I'm not going to say that I have no interest, but I'm going to wait to read the reviews.
You're going to wait to read? This is review proof, Adam. It's a cultural moment. You don't need to wait for the reviews.
Let me put it to you this way. When I saw The Phantom Menace, I think of that as the day my childhood ended.
Yeah, but everyone hates The Phantom Menace. So.
I know. Well, that's
like probably the only film you and I agree on.
It wasn't just that I didn't like The Phantom Menace, and I didn't see the two after that.
Yeah.
But it actually made me like the first three less.
Yeah.
Ben just mentioned, though, that this new movie is like the prequels didn't happen.
Well, that helps, but obviously everybody's going to like it. I think there are certain situations when everybody convinces themselves that they have to like it. And so I need to let the dust settle a little bit before I can really discern what the deal is. You know what I mean?
You know, it's interesting that you mention something becoming such a big thing that you have to like it. Because we have a special guest with us, the retort. This is almost like when the Grateful Dead went out without Jerry and they got someone. Who did they have? They had Trent, right, from Fish, and then they had John Mayer. So Joanna Stern, tech columnist extraordinaire for the Journal, is joining this retort reunion. And this is an amazing thing. Here's Joanna, one of the best-known people in the tech community, somebody who, you know, is incredible with the video arts. Never seen Star Wars. Not a one?
Not a one.
Not a minute?
Actually, Adam knows my secret now because I told him before we did the podcast. I have started watching the first one.
Okay.
But fell asleep, I think.
Where?
20 seconds in.
Wait, when you...
What? The script hasn't even stopped rolling up the screen, Joanna.
That's what? I thought that was...
You wanted something pithier? It just put you to sleep immediately?
She thought the whole movie was going to be like that.
Yeah. So I just fell asleep.
Are you talking about number 4 or number 1?
The first one, I don't even know what that means.
The 1977 film or the 2000?
They go like this. They go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, so there's like the prequel to this. Yeah. None.
Now, has this...
Not even the old ones.
But which one did you fall asleep in?
The first one.
But again,
the first one that was
made. Are we talking about episode one or the first one ever made?
Episode four.
The one Harrison Ford is in it.
Harrison Ford, yes.
Okay, Carrie Fisher.
Has this ever caused any kind of career awkwardness for you, Joanna?
Have you ever found yourself at some sort of LinkedIn mixer or something? And like, you know, out in Silicon Valley and the conversation turns to Jar Jar Binks and you're like, what?
Yes, and now I sort of do it just to keep up the shtick, basically. Like
I can't see it.
I know I can drink a lot of coffee and make it through all of these, and but, probably write something very fun.
But you know about all the lingo, right? Like I could say that you're an iPhone Yoda,
yes,
and you can kind of understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Have you made a Star Wars reference? Have you made a Star Wars reference?
Just call me a midget.
Have you made a Star Wars reference in print or video, Joanna?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Well, that's probably a good thing.
I mean, we're not talking about, like, droids.
Well, droids, you know, that's effectively a Star Wars reference. Yeah, it's borderline, but it's
right, I know the lingo, and, you know, there's, like, this thing called Google, and you can pretty much fake everything.
Sure. Do you know the difference?
I'm not even a tech expert.
Do you know the difference
that.
Between
Google
an
everything.
X-Wing fighter and a TIE fighter?
No, but I'm from the words I'm trying to decipher, no.
Yeah, well, you're onto something. Mm-hmm. Well,
but now here's actually like, I'm very tempted to go see this episode.
You are.
Right? Was that the lingo episode?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, that was.
But will I be lost?
No, I don't think so.
That's what Ben seemed to imply, was that this is a fresh start. The Force has been awakened.
The Force has been awakened.
And you don't need to go back and watch all six films to get forward. Right.
Except when there is going to be these wink-wink cameos where it's like, oh, we're getting the gang back together again.
Right. But Joanna knows who Chewbacca is.
I do.
I have a question.
I've seen Spaceballs.
So you
don't get half
of
Spaceballs. I don't understand
You're not getting half the humor. Okay, it stands on its own, but you would appreciate it more with a little bit of a Star Wars background.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is like basically you're flying blind through life if you haven't seen Star Wars.
Now, Joanna, one thing that came up in the course of the hype for this movie was that J.J. Abrams, the director of the film who made Lost and all that stuff.
You're really not to speak to my level. It really gets me.
He came out and said, you know, he was trying to go after a female audience, that he felt that Star Wars was something of a male domain, a little bit of a boys' club, and that, you know, there's a female principal of this new film, I believe, without spoiling anything, and that he's trying to cultivate a female audience. Do you think
so? That's why they're advertising during Scandal and How to Get Away.
Well, this caused a bit of a backlash because there is a very substantial constituency of female Star Wars
fans. Was a glaring problem. In the first three films, there's only two females with speaking parts.
Okay.
I mean, that besides Princess Leia and that female general woman at the end of Jedi. That's it.
What about his aunt?
Okay, and the aunt. Oh, maybe it is. It's the aunt and Leia or whatever. I don't want to. We're going to go down
Aunt
a
Baru.
Dark nerd.
Guys, not
here
to prove my point, but the question was for Joanna.
I'm just saying, it's definitely a problem with the originals.
Is any of this marketing? Is any of this, you know, this idea of appealing to a female audience? Does that increase your interest in this film whatsoever?
No. But not. I mean, I actually only this. I was watching Scandal. And no, it was How to Get Away with Murder. And like during the end of one of the commercial, you know, right at the end, they had the characters say, oh, you know, I love Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And they sort of had these. And that rubbed me the wrong way. That just was very sort of like, I get it. You're trying to go after me. And it's not working. But other than that, I haven't seen a ton of marketing towards women. Maybe I don't pay attention to it. But to me, the whole marketing machine behind this has been insane.
Yeah.
But of course, that kind of, I think in this day and age, it's more the social media that makes you kind of want to be part of the conversation. And I don't, they're probably doing a ton on there too, but yeah, the marketing has not probably swayed me to go see this.
I have actually seen makeup with a tie into Star Wars advertised.
makeup, like makeup lip line? Gloss?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe really? It. There's yeah. There was a person in Barnes & Noble when I was in it yesterday checking on the sales of Little Victories, Perfect Rules for Imperfect Living. From
do you
Random
go to
House.
The like to see how many are actually in stock?
No, I actually just sign them without anyone asking. But there's a
do you, like,
there,
move
I'm not
them
kidding.
To the
there's
front?
A guard guarding the Star Wars stash, like the Star like so someone doesn't your... walk out and steal lightsabers. But Joanna,
can we
when
go back to your guerrilla marketing of your book?
How so?
So you go to the store.
Yeah.
You sign books.
Nah, I was joking. I don't actually go and sign the books.
Okay, but you go look at the books. You move them so people see them.
Yeah. Well, my book is in the Octagon. Do you know what the octagon is? It's the like first front. Table, the front table. Right, exactly. That's the
next
that's
to the Star Wars stuff.
Exactly. I'm underneath some lightsabers. But Joanna,
so you don't even need to move it to the front. It's just there. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Exactly.
I used to work for a small tech magazine, and it was always in the back of the Barnes & Noble like magazine racks. And I would always take them and put them right in front of People magazine.
Little Victories will be there after January 1st, I'm sure. But how do you watch TV, Joanna? This is, you know, Joanna fascinates me, Jim. You know this. She is a tech.
I've completely taken over this podcast. So you need to talk
are
about
you,
Star Wars.
Are you watching this? Are you watching Scandal? Like, you mentioned commercials. Are you actually watching it on a regular TV through cable?
Yes.
That is amazing. I would expect you to be a cord cutter, Joanne. I expect you to have
Jeff is the cord cutter.
Jeff's a full cord cutter, but you like good old-fashioned overpriced cable TV?
That's I don't even read his pieces. I'm just like, I want to keep giving money to the cable companies. Take all my money every month.
Yeah, so you're just, you know, at whatever hour was it? Nine
okay, I actually, like, I watched that How to Get Away with Murder, I think, live, because I think it's a great show. Yeah. And I think I started it a little bit late so I could fast forward on my crappy DVR to it.
Now, Jeff, I want to ask you about Star Wars. And if this was released simultaneously on TV, as many movies now, smaller films increasingly are released both in the theater but also at home, would you be tempted to watch Star Wars at home?
On demand, you mean? Like
yeah, on demand.
Like
yeah.
No.
You have to see it in theater.
I mean, I have tickets tomorrow night.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Where are you seeing it in New York?
You know what? It was a big thing for me because I really, you know, I feel like I'm getting to the age where I cannot deal with the whole, like, lining up situation.
Right.
But with the assigned seats, I was in.
You can get with that.
I'm going at 11. I didn't buy the tickets. My brother did.
He's 11 a.m.?
No, 11
p.m. Are you fearful that you might fall asleep?
Yes, that's a big concern. That is a big concern.
It's 6.5 hours long. I don't know if that's a spoiler.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Are you with some giant IMAX thing?
No, it's non-IMAX.
It's not.
Standard Max.
It's standard
regular Max.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Is Star Wars in 3D?
I don't want to go on a rant about it.
I think the 3D thing is kind of over.
That faded?
I think so. Yeah.
I hate when everyone tells you have to see it in IMAX, like it's the whale movie or whatever. You know, it's like
it makes
a 20
nauseous.
Minute trip to go.
I'm worried about bed bugs in theaters, though.
What?
You know, there's a situation where you just go to theaters. Like when Jason asked that question, I thought, wow, I could actually sit in my living room and watch the Star Wars. I'm in.
What about snacks?
But what makes you think there are no bed bugs in your own apartment?
There might be, but you know,
bed bugs are like termite creatures. They're
right, but they're
to
very
wood.
Popular in movie theaters.
Yes.
Yeah, first I thought you were insane for saying that.
Yeah,
and now I'm actually like, yeah, I'm.
So is this a New York phobia? Like people are just like, I don't do movies anymore.
Yeah, it's in the coats.
Exactly.
Oh, it's in the coats.
I've heard those wooden benches on the subway platforms are just. Bed bug havens.
I sit on those all the time.
Don't sit on those.
That really?
Is, I'm not
totally
sitting on one
of
those.
Oh, I sit on them all the time.
Oh,
that's
bad
terrible.
Move. Bad move.
They never
terrible.
Get washed.
Yet. I rub my face on
this studio probably has bed bugs.
There's no wood in here. If Star Wars lives up to all your expectations and it's just a brilliant reinvention of the genre and you are completely hooked like you once were as a small child, but you get bed bugs, will it be worth it?
No. Wait a minute. Also, how high do you think my expectations are? I think my expectations, like most Star Wars fans, are pretty tempered considering what we've already gone through with the colossal disappointment.
Oh, I think people's expectations are off the chain for this. They're crazy.
Yeah, but you have to remember what our expectations were for The Phantom Menace when it was just we didn't understand the concept of a horrible Star Wars film.
But this seems to be a very self-aware production that they kind of gently ripped it away from George Lucas, rewrote, redid everything, and sort of kept him at arm's length.
I have a question. You guys all have young kids, right? How much of the Star Wars marketing has hit them? Like, Jason, you have a toddler.
Yeah, too little.
Does he know any of the characters?
No. Unless Curious George was in Star Wars, he doesn't care.
My daughter is aware, and she knows a few characters, and she's watched maybe 20 minutes of Return of the Jedi.
Adam, do you remember what you went to go see the opening weekend of any of the original Star Wars movies? Did you see, like, any, like, Louis Malle or anything like that? Was it, like, what did you go to see?
Instead of Star Wars?
Yeah.
1978. It was probably, Atlantic City by Louis Malle, Susan Sarandon, Burt Lancaster. Great late role for Burt Lancaster.
Yeah. My Dinner with Andre instead of Empire Strikes Back, you know, it was a classic.
I think I saw Star Wars. Star Wars may have been the first live-action movie I saw in the theater. Definitely saw Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back opening weekend.
Yeah.
So I was there.
Would you watch The Force Reawakens 3 months from now? You're flying across the country. Would you watch The Force? I keep calling The Force Reawakens.
Did it ever go anywhere?
Will you watch it on the airplane?
Yeah, on a little 2-inch screen.
Yeah,
that's a pretty low amount of investment. I watched The Avengers on a screen like that.
I tried to watch The Avengers and it was impossible. It was like watching like someone play Mortal Kombat. I couldn't follow it.
It was like being on the inside of a washing machine, basically. Yeah.
Here's a question. In the coming months, you know, we're all excited about Star Wars, at least Jeff and I are. But in the coming months, we're going to have a reboot of another movie we've liked to talk about, Ghostbusters. But no one is supporting that as like with the same excitement as this reboot of Star Wars. Why, Jeff, you're
I don't support that at all.
Right. But what's the difference?
Because this has happened too many times. They reboot these things and they're huge disappointments, and why come up with a new story? I don't understand
this isn't a new story.
Is crazier? Star Wars fan behavior, like staying out overnight to get into a movie, or Apple fanboy culture? What's crazier?
Apple.
I think, I mean, I'm not intimately familiar with the Star Wars culture, but I'm intimately familiar with the Apple culture.
And so you think waiting in line for a phone is much crazier than waiting in line to see a movie that you're dying to see? Overnight.
Yes.
Why?
Because the phones are not going to run out.
Right. It's not a limited edition.
Yeah, like, the movie will be there tomorrow, but I can understand, like, I mean, but they would argue that they just need to have it right now. They've been waiting so long. They would love it in their hand right now.
Well, the movie's more of a shared cultural experience also.
I always just assume with the Apple lines, a lot of them are people who are, for whatever reason, being paid to sleep out and sell them to people who are crazy enough to want to pay 3 times the price. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they are now.
Yeah.
Most of them. But I haven't gone to the lines to interview people in a while, but there are the people out there that really are the fans. And, and again, it's kind of the cultural community bonding over this shared company.
Let's be honest. It's the same people, Jason.
Joanna, kind of like mixed reviews at best for the battery pack.
I know. I've been facing a lot of heat for I bought one.
Yeah, I see.
I love it.
It's got the little chubby bump in the back.
Yeah,
it looks
like
a pregnant iPhone.
Yep.
You like it.
Do you want
to say
something?
No. Do you find, you know, what have you heard from readers?
Readers are very mad because I should have been harsher on Apple for the design.
Yeah.
But I actually think part of that is that when you hold it, it doesn't look as bad as the photos.
Yeah.
So I've told people to go check it out before being so angry.
Any indication as to what the, you know, sales early indicators are?
No, but they're going to sell it. It's a $99 accessory that they get at checkout, and for the holidays, it's great. And, of course, Apple stores are going to be pushing these harder than the Mophies they have in store.
Right. Yes. And
it's good. I mean, it's a good product. It's not a terrible product.
The thing that always drives me crazy about the iPhone is that, you know, here you hold it in your hand. It's this beautiful thing, very thin. The first thing you do is you buy something that changes the feeling of it completely. And I do appreciate it. Someone could do a story about people who are iPhone purists who won't put anything around it, because you run into those folks every once in a while.
I did a piece on cases last year, and we put a poll in the story, and 70% of people were like, we don't have a case.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Jim, when are you going to see Star Wars?
I'm going to try to see it this weekend. I don't have tickets. I didn't buy tickets in advance. I'm not planning on winning.
I don't think you're going to be able to see it. Are you going to try to see it in Jersey or New York?
In New York.
What are you going to do about the bed?
But you know, I'm not going to worry. Yeah, that's partly of a concern.
Where plastic?
I heard they're teaming up with exterminators marketing.
I think if you wear vinyl pants,
actually,
Jim, you're
that
fine.
Might be a good idea to dress up as a stormtrooper.
You were
so husband. That you don't get bed bugs, or at least in your own clothing.
Adam, when are you going to see Star Wars?
Possibly 4 to 6 weeks from now.
This guy.
Like at a second-run movie theater, which don't exist anymore?
Well, because I got it in my head that I need to now go see it because, well, I guess it's the other way around because Jeff's probably going to see the movie before me, and I would be worried about spoiling the movie.
But you know I'm good. We sit across from each other. Yes. You know I'm good on that front.
No, you're good on that front, but I'm not good on that
front. No, you're terrible. Yes. I'm actually only seeing it tomorrow because I sit across from you, and there's a chance you could see it.
The big question is Luke. Role, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation as to what sort of Luke Skywalker action.
Yeah.
Skywalker.
I mean, we know he's in the movie.
Yeah.
But he's just not in the ads. I think what Ben said earlier in LA, I mean, I think he's right. I don't think we really know anything. I'm actually trying not to read all the, you know, stuff, speculation.
Are the reviews out?
They're coming out
very soon. They're embargoed until today or tonight, tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow morning, I believe. You can read the review in Wednesday's Personal Journal.
Have you read it?
Oh. I have not yet. It is not on the page.
Adam, what's a better movie, Empire Strikes Back or Desperately Seeking Susan?
Empire Strikes Back, but it's closer than you think.
It's closer than you think.
Well, listen, I want to have everybody from the Retort and Joanna back after everyone has seen Star Wars, and I'm including you. Joanna Stern.
I'm thinking that I have a little bit of a break. Maybe I'm going to watch some of these originals.
So you have 4 to 6 weeks. And that's when Adam's going
to
see it.
If nothing else, just to get more appreciation for the greatness of Spaceballs.
Yeah.
But if you see Star Wars
and
you have a reaction to
it,
watch it on an airplane. I get a lot of my movie watching done on airplanes now. In the audience, if you go see Star Wars, you have an opinion about us, tweet us here at WSJ. Let us know what you think about Star Wars, The Force Awakens or Reawakens or whatever
they
call
it. #freeforall.
#freeforall. Jim, listen, social media editor. And thanks very much for listening. I'm Jason Gay. As always, this is the free-for-all.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.